I have to be careful because that big white goose is swimming there in the background. And it turns out that he's not a fan of anthropology. You might recognize him from some of my past videos. He never seems hungry and tends to scream and shout at me when I try to feed him. So I'll try to keep out of his way from now on. Ended up naming that white goose after a bird deity famous in India called Ganda Barunda, which was the symbol used by several rulers to represent their ancient kingdoms. The Ganda Barunda is a two-headed bird in Hindu mythology, believed to possess immense magical strength and worshipped as an avatar of Lord Vishnu. It's often depicted as clutching elephants in its talons and sometimes holding a snake in its beak, with long tail feathers like a peacock. Of course, it is most often compared to another similar symbol, that of the two-headed eagle. In heraldry, the two-headed eagle is associated with the concept of empire, and this can be said for any number of famous empires, from the Byzantine to those of ancient Mesopotamia. The symbol was always associated with power and dominion. That said, in today's episode, I'd like to explore its deeper occult significance in an attempt to explain how it came to be and its esoteric significance to royal families and nobility throughout the ages. First, let's take a look at some examples to get familiar with the symbol and see if we can notice any patterns. The double-headed eagle is used as an emblem by the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry for about 250 years, formally adopted from the personal emblem of King Frederick the Great of Prussia, who in 1786 became the first sovereign grand commander of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree. Albania, Serbia, Montenegro, and Russia have a double-headed eagle in their coat of arms. The double-headed eagle is now used as an emblem by any number of Orthodox Christian churches, including the Greek Orthodox Church and the Orthodox Church of Albania. In modern Greece, it appears in official use in the coat of arms of the Hellenic army. The two-headed eagle also appears on the modern and historical arms and flags of Austria-Hungary, the Kingdom of Yugoslavia, Armenia, Montenegro, and Serbia. It's also used in the municipal arms of a number of cities in Germany, Netherlands, Spain, Italy, and Croatia. The design was introduced in a number of British municipal coats of arms and is also found in a number of British family coats of arms. It's also widely used in modern Turkey. Most historians will trace these symbols back to the Holy Roman Empire, which they claim is just an extension of the single-headed imperial eagle used centuries earlier, which is an oversimplification and misses its occult significance, which was resurrected during the Renaissance. A distinguishing feature of the Holy Roman Eagle was that it was often depicted with halos. After the dissolution of the Holy Roman Empire in 1806, the double-headed eagle was retained by the Austrian Empire and served also as a coat of arms of the German Confederation. The double-headed eagle was a main element of the coat of arms of the Russian Empire for several centuries, until 1917 and the Bolshevik Revolution. I'll add a link in the description to a video I did on the subject. It's an important presentation, and I suggest watching it. It was restored in 1993 and remains in use in Russia up until present, although the eagle on the current coat of arms is golden rather than the traditional imperial black. The double-headed eagle motif was also adopted in the Muslim world, notably on coins and some stone reliefs on the towers of Turkish fortresses. It can also be found in Egypt on a stone relief on the walls of the Cairo Citadel. The early Byzantine Empire used the single-headed imperial eagle motif, as the double-headed eagle appears only in the medieval period by about the 10th century in Byzantine art, during an influx of Aryan migration into Europe, which brought certain esoteric ideas with them, even though the symbol was used in Anatolia and Eurasia for many millennia before that. After the Bronze Age collapse, there's a gap for more than 2 millennia before the reappearance of the double-headed eagle. Use of the double-headed eagle in the Hittite imagery has been interpreted as a royal insignia. The Hittites were among the first populations to break off from the original demographic of Proto-Indo-Europeans, or Aryans, as is indicated by their now extinct language. The double-headed eagle, like the swastika, can be found all over the world, including the Americas and civilizations of the New World, along with the swastika. Here, we see examples of pre-Columbian two-headed eagles, with the one in the center attributed to the Olmec period. Despite popular belief, the Olmec were not a single civilization or one race, but speaks to a time period comprising multiple races and cultures. There were black people in the Americas prior to the slave trade, there were East Asian phenotypes, and there were Caucasians, especially bearded ones. There's ample evidence for transatlantic contact during the entire Holocene, genetically as well as archaeologically. Of course, much of the Mesoamerican double-headed eagle symbology came following the Spanish conquest, as the Aztec eagle was supplanted by the double-headed imperial eagle of the Habsburgs, the insignia of the ruling dynasty in Spain, with an overt attempt to also replace a considerable amount of double-headed serpent symbolism in the New World, which brings us to the esoteric meaning, which is also encoded in symbols from Mesopotamia and Egypt, where a winged disc will have two serpents dangling from the bottom. These two serpents share the same significance as the double serpent tail of Melusine, a figure of European folklore which I've covered in a prior video that's also sometimes illustrated with wings, along with two tails or both. The same symbolism can be seen in the serpent goddess of the Minoan civilization, which is always depicted holding two snakes. I'll include a link in the description for those interested, as I don't want to be redundant. We also find similar symbology with the pre-Roman Mediterranean deity called Vanth, who is depicted with two serpents entwined around the arms, also closely associated with the Etruscan goddess of the underworld, Vatica, which is where the Vatican gets its name from, with one of its meanings being divine serpent. Of course, the caduceus is the staff carried by Hermes in Greek mythology, and consequently by Hermes Trismegistus in Greco-Egyptian mythology. It's a short staff entwined by two serpents, usually surmounted by wings. To take it a step further, the two-headed eagle, the double-tailed Melusine, and the two serpents of the winged disc all share esoteric origins with the two-pillar symbolism in art and architecture, whether it be the two towers, which comprise many cathedrals built by the Templars, or the two pillars at the front of any Masonic lodge. One pillar would often be constructed with brass or bronze, which are considered sun metals, and the other with tin or zinc, which is a moon metal. This mixture of sun and moon, in an alchemical context, represents male and female energetic polarity, which is the basis for transmutation of prana, chi, or vril. In regards to the two-headed eagle, phoenix, or serpent, these are all affiliated with the solar mysteries and represent both the sun and the planet or god closely associated with the sun, which is of course Jupiter. The same way that Vishnu, the deity linked to the Ganda Barunda bird, is linked to Jupiter, so is Marduk, Ahura Mazda, and Zeus. As Jupiter traverses the sun's ecliptic over its roughly 12-year orbit, passing through the 12 houses of the zodiac. In addition to Jupiter's 12-year orbit and the 12 months in one orbit of the Earth around the sun, there's a 26,000-year cycle that is also divided into 12, known as the precession of the equinox. This cyclical progression through the stars is recorded in many ways through numerous civilizations, from the Epic of Gilgamesh, recorded on 12 tablets, to the 12 Labors of Hercules, which describes his journey through the 12 signs of the zodiac, to the pre-Christian Mithraic mysteries of the ancient Aryans of Iran, where the solar deity Mithras is often depicted killing a bull, ending the astrological age of Taurus around 2000 BC, ushering in the age of Aries. As far as Judaism is concerned, this transition is told in the story of Moses, where he comes down from Mount Sinai after speaking to God to find his people worshiping a golden calf. Gold is the metal associated with the sun, and the calf represented Taurus, which Moses destroys, making way for the new age of the ram. The age of Aries ended around the time of Jesus, which represents the age of Pisces and the fish symbology we find interwoven into the New Testament. This should not in any way discount the spiritual message revered by Christians, but all Abrahamic faiths are part of the solar mysteries, which did not start with Jews, but stretches back into the Pleistocene. In order for people to document a cyclical pattern in the sky that takes 25,920 years to complete, it means that people must have been documenting the changes in the heavens for at least that long, implying that astrotheology likely originated during the time period the Greeks and Egyptians attributed to Atlantis. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon, as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. Please have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.